Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
I feel like I'm in Wayne's World. What was that? I'm using that as the intro. That is how we're starting this thing. No, all right, we're recording this thing. So I'm here again with Sam Goyal, entrepreneur. Welcome back, Sam, all the way from Goa. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Ashley. Doing well. It's good to see you and good to be back on the show.
Likewise. Yeah, you're my second repeat guest. I tried to make you my first repeat guest, but life kind of got in the way, I think, a little bit for all of us.
Yeah, but, you always save the best for last, so that's cool.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is my last podcast episode, but...
I was going to say your next guest who comes on for the second time is going to be like, yeah, that guy.
Exactly. For people who... Because you were my first ever podcast episode, so that's probably more important than the best for last little line there. So that was more important to me anyway. And I was kind of feeling my way through this whole thing, and we sort of shot the shit, which we will do today again. But for maybe people who don't remember going back, I think it was 15, 16 months ago now to that time in the world where COVID wasn't such a major player. Mm-hmm. How would you maybe recap what we spoke about that day from what you recall? No pressure to recall all of it. And then like maybe a little cliff notes summary of how things have changed for you in your life between now and then. I say cliff notes because I know there's been a lot of change.
Yeah, that is for sure. Look, man, I was actually reflecting before this call. To our last session, our last interview, your first in the Ash Taba Show, which on a side note, I'm so proud of you for making this. How many episodes are you on now? 50 or 60?
This is 62.
Fantastic, Ashley. Really, that's a great run. And you know, here's many more.
Thank you.
As being your first, your maiden, your guinea pig, some might say.
Mm.
I'm the other. But it was really interesting because, you know, for me, I was at a pivotal stage in my life when we spoke, having been through a lot of change, basically having had the rug pulled under me in my life, figuratively and literally. And of course, the world was at that time at the cusp of what we now have lived and are living through, a global pandemic. And 15, 16 months later, actually it was end of February, third week of February 2020. So it's been a good chunk of change. My life has transformed drastically. I've transformed. And if you just flick through that first episode and see the guy in the video, you probably won't recognize him now. Even myself, I'm these days getting used to new Sam. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot of change. And it's been a hell of a ride. what we talked about, well, again, I was reflecting upon that, actually. And some of the key topics that stood out, again, mirroring where I was in my life and some of the lessons I was learning the hard way.
It's always how it goes, right? You talk about always. What's going on at the time.
That's right. But the hard lessons are the ones you learn, isn't it? And the ones you remember, and hopefully the ones you apply. Anyway, one of the key topics and themes was ambition and capability.
Mm.
Ambition and capability and balancing those two. And just to remind the audience, I'm an entrepreneur. I've been running a solar business out of Singapore for the last 8-9 years. Life brought me to Goa, India, which I've been based in now. And my journey has been one of a lot of volatility, instability. And those caused my life to fall apart two years ago, actually.
When you're talking about that volatility, instability, are you talking about it solely from the perspective of entrepreneurship and business? Or did that kind of come from you and ripple into all parts of your life?
That's a great question. You know, as an entrepreneur who lives and breathes and sleeps their business, because I am purpose-driven, I don't do what I do primarily for money. I do what I do because I love what I do. So it's not quite work, it's life. So rather than a work-life balance, as an entrepreneur who's deeply embedded into your business, it becomes a work-life integration, which sounds cool on one side if you're really into working. Which I am. On the other side, it has several challenges because as an entrepreneur who is growing organically without external fundraising, doing it the hard way, the old-fashioned way, you have a lot of instability, particularly in the development business. I'm a solar developer. And in the development business, you have a lot of ups and downs on such a regular basis that after a while, you tend to just go with the flow in terms of you get used to not having anything for certain, not taking anything for granted. So you can imagine with that kind of environment as what you live and breathe, and the big challenge being its unstable cash flow. Right? Some days you have money, some days you don't. Some days your business is up, some days you're down. There's no such thing as a stable paycheck. There's no such thing as a long runway on which you can plan business expansion. It just doesn't work that way in the real world. You got to hustle, you got to survive, especially if you're in the big boy industry, which I am. It's solar energy, and my competition is government companies, and we're still our kind of core small team that's riding the waves. So it's a full-on journey. So to answer your question, with all of this backdrop, it is that volatility that had seeped into my life. The financial volatility affected my marriage, which I gave for my business. It was one of the big events that had happened last time we spoke. I had come off a fresh divorce. It entered into my inner world, my emotional stability. It entered into my home, in a sense, because the financial link, the marriage link, and it entered into my relationships, because I was under such heavy strain, such heavy pressure. I wasn't able to be present and provide the kind of attention that one nurtures their garden with, right? Relationships are like garden. So all of those, including lack of self-care, because I was under the stress, because I was, you know, it's like a vicious cycle. So as a result, man, it was an extremely, that was my status quo for maybe 7 years, which is incidentally maybe, how long
maybe,
I was
maybe,
married.
Maybe longer in some ways, to be fair.
Maybe longer.
Knowing
maybe
longer. You for, you know, yes. a longer time, obviously, in a different guise. I knew we were going to touch on lots of interesting points and interesting things today that to many might sound ethereal or whatever you want to label them as, but I think they're super important because it's not about the business or the thing per se. I mean, it is. We're talking about your business as a solar entrepreneur, but as you know, most of my audience are going to be actors, filmmakers, given the nature of many of the guests that I have, 80% being film, TV, casting director related. For anyone who is, you know, from that background listening or watching this, don't tune off because you think this is a business entrepreneurship conversation, because actually this is more about mindset stuff that applies to all of us. And you probably could relate to some of the stuff that Sam was just saying around volatility, ups and downs, no stable paycheck. Like entrepreneurship and artistry are essentially coming from the same.
Absolutely. People.
So I'm just putting that out there now early so that anyone who's listening who's an actor doesn't go, I don't want to listen because it's a business podcast. It's not a business podcast. It's a life podcast. Now I've got that off my back. What I wanted to ask you was, as you were talking about all of the things that were happening and you said it seeped into you, can I posit a thought and you can then springboard from there? How much of it do you feel sort of seeped into you? And how much of it do you actually maybe feel was coming from you outward? Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Is it the outer world that caused you to feel that way? Or were there things inside of you that emanated in what was happening in your outer world, but it's only something you can cognizantly look back on and say, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic question yet again, Mr. Ashley. Hindsight is such a beautiful tool, right? Sure. In hindsight, I can say that, frankly speaking, as a result of the turbulence in my external world, my internal world was a mess. And then I bring it back to a vicious cycle. I believe everything is linked. I believe the internal and external is linked in as far as how one can be a reflection of the other. In fact, a lot of times it is a mirror. If your external world is in disarray, generally your inner world is in disarray.
So do you think that that's a two-way street, or do you feel that that...
Two-way street. And I was going to get to the second part, which is now, in hindsight, having spent a lot of time on my inner work, this has been my big success story, really, is doing a lot of the inner work and making a lot of progress. Now, my inner world is a lot more stable. Mm-hmm. As a result, my external world appears more stable. But the truth is, if I trace it back, it's this constant iterative process, actually. You need some stability internally, and your external world gets more stable. As that gets more stable, you become more stable. For example, I'll give you a concrete example, which I think people will relate to. Financial challenge, right? being an artist, they'll call you guys starving artists. They call us broke entrepreneurs. It's the same side of the coin, of the same coin, right? What I find is that it's somebody who takes the initiative to do something on their own, outside of that steady, stable framework and outside of the so-called rat race, is for me what is the heart of an entrepreneur, right? So let's also reestablish that context. Mm-hmm. Bringing this into the framework of your question, put it this way, man. Last time we spoke, I was $25,000 in debt, which I've been carrying for 9 years at compounded interest. 9 years as a result of being an entrepreneur, putting in everything I had, the business going down. You know, it's just the standard story of going all in and not quite winning the hand. The point is, carrying all that debt put a lot of pressure on my inner world, mm-hmm. which didn't enable me to make the right decisions with a view on the long term. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always thinking about paying that minimum payment next month. Fast forward 16 months since we last spoke, I've cleared all my debt, man, this year.
So the question that's going to leap out is, what changed?
Yeah, well, there you go. And this is now bringing it back to that iterative process, right? Some progress in my inner world reflected in progress in my outer world as a result of better decisions and choices. That progress in my outer world, uplifting my inner world and my situation to a place where I have a better set of problems and so on. So it's bringing it back. In a nutshell, I took a step back from my ambition and worked on my capability. And I worked bloody effing hard. I worked on my inner world. I worked on making the right decisions with my work to fill my financial gaps. So for example, sometimes you may have an exciting passion project and we love it, but you ain't going to pay you big tidbits, right? On the other side, let's say you get a gig, which you just got to go and act for commercials, but you make money. And which do you choose? Right? You have a finite resource.
And sometimes, okay, but the question can be, do you have to choose?
Well, I mean, you need to eat, right? You need to make money. We all need to earn money from our craft and our art. That's what entrepreneurship or artistry is for me. Sure. Like, we want to be rewarded and recognized. Otherwise, it's just doing things for free, which is great, but there's no validation. For me, the monetary is a validation.
Yeah.
Now, bringing that as a question, so I'll ask you a question as an artist who may have faced this dilemma. If you have a limited bandwidth, i.e. 12 hours you can work every day, and on one side, you have a great passion project.
I love that you think I work for 12 hours a day, by the way.
Assuming, I mean, entrepreneurs have to, right? Nobody else does it. But on the other side, you put in that same amount of hours and you get steady paycheck, but you don't really like what you do. What would you choose, or how would you handle that situation?
No, but that has been the thing for me, right? I think most people probably know that I worked in digital marketing for 12 years, and I worked for the man, and I did that partly because that was the path that I saw the people around me, parents, uncles, just society tells you to follow. So I've been down that road, always whilst in that world, feeling like it didn't resonate for me, but did it because I had, you know, pay the bills, money to invest in the artistic careers. I was growing that and learning and training, but always with the mindset of, how can I get to a place where I have more time to do what I want to do, which is where I'm at as of 3-4 years ago, where I still do the marketing bits on my terms and I freelance, and I could go all in on that and make a hell of a lot more money. But ultimately, I'm making what I need to be able to live well and then some, but more importantly, have infinitely more time to invest in doing stuff like this in terms of making my own projects, in terms of writing, in terms of being free to go to an audition or do a self-tape, where when I was working in an office, I get an audition next day. The first thing isn't prepping for the role. It's, okay, logistics. I've got to get time off work. I've got to go and do this. Yep. Like, so you're already in a different headspace. So, yes, I think there's a balance of the two. I think to bring it full circle to your original point that was the genesis of the question to me, for me, in the last few years and even the last few months, it's been more and more about honing in on what's the vision. So by that, I don't mean like, you know, what's the ultimate life vision and in terms of what's your why. I mean, what's the vision for different facets of what I'm doing in my life, whether it's acting, finance, business, relationships, health. And that can have sub strands to it, but what's the end? Like, what's the end goal? And once you can sort of start dwelling from that state and perspective, because you know what you aspire for it to be, the decisions you make along the way are always kind of going to that map. Now, you don't know what the stuff in the way is going to be per se, which is part of the joy of it. But at least you have a compass and a North Star that you're going towards. And that's been more helpful. Like, it's not an accident that I freelance now, as opposed to I didn't 10 years ago. That was a conscious thing as part of the vision. Ah, and you've just frozen off. And I've been giving that whole spiel the whole time. I'm still going to keep that in because it's actually legit and true. Also, I think the moral of the story is that the internet in Go is maybe not that great. Although he did say there was a rainstorm happening, so maybe it was that. Anyway, I'm going to pause this here, and we'll see if he comes back. All right, we're back. Goa technical difficulties have been resolved, as my premonition was true. And we were just talking a little bit about vision, and I had my bit of a rant there as Sam disappeared. But I guess to sort of encapsulate where we were at, we're talking about that idea of having, within whatever area of your life it might be, a clear or as clear as possible defined view of what it is that you want within that area of your life. And then using that as sort of the filter for how you then make decisions as you're going through your journey, and also letting yourself sort of sit back and relax as life unfolds towards that end point too, because it's not about controlling every step. It's about knowing that's my North Star. And now as I go along the ride, I can trust that is happening is leading me towards whatever this is, that end point.
Absolutely, Ashley. That's some really great points here. I want to unpack a few things. Firstly, coming back to that question, right? With finite resources, what do you choose? Something stable or something more purpose-driven? And I love what you said. Frankly, it is really about putting on the lens of your vision, not just your why. I mean, why is why we do what we do, but also envisioning what it is that we want in our life. And I like what you said, these sub-visions, sub-buckets. So working with that, what did I do, right? Because that was the context. What would I do differently? I recognized that, A, I want to pursue my dreams as an entrepreneur and build my business because I believe in what I'm doing. However, I don't want to be unstable and broke and constantly under stress. So how do I find that balance? What I did, actually, I took up a side gig as a consultant. And I earned enough money through that to support that tough time in the business when we weren't generating cash flow. And that took me through to the point where we could start earning again from what we were doing. That was huge. And then I could drop that gig and put my full focus in it. Secondly, and now this is that iterative process. So this is what I did because I had the internal vision, right? That was step one. Then I made changes in my external world based around that vision to balance out the finite resource. Then I got to second part. So now I have a new set of problems, a better set of problems, to quote Mark Manson, right? Which is, okay, hey, I'm stable again. I'm now able to look up from this tunnel vision over to the next 1 or 2 years, perhaps even slightly longer. What do I want in my life? And one of the key things I wanted was to have a happy, stable relationship with someone I love, with someone who loves me. And I found love. I met somebody and we found a beautiful home and we moved in and we built a beautiful relationship. And it's our 1 year anniversary quite soon. So that was huge, right? That was an internal personal goal for relationship, which I didn't want to sacrifice again because of my business goals, right? The second thing that happened was I recognized that in order for our business to grow, we need some support with investors. And while the COVID had hit the world and all the projects were stopped and a lot of business was stopped, I'm sure in all industries, gigs were stopped, movies were stopped, TVs, everything was stopped, right? So when this is stopped, how can you put that use of time into something else that's still related to this goal and vision? Perhaps even supports it. And that's the kind of beauty of not having these blinkers on. Sometimes you're able to just step back and take a look around. And I recognized, hey, there is still a lot of people who want to come into Southeast Asia, which is the market I operate in, and bring in capital. So we spent the better part of 2020, which was the COVID year, securing investment. And guess what? We started this year with signed investors. After 8 years of my journey of more than 130 rejections, we finally got the yes and we signed with a global corporate giant. So now, coming back to that iterative process, now I've stabilized over here. As a result, I'm getting more financial stability, paying off my debts, now able to negotiate better, able to choose the right gigs for me, able to do the right projects, able to say no, able to think of the next 6, 12, 24, 36 months rather than the next 3 weeks. And it is that journey that has helped me transform fundamentally and find this beautiful balance of having a super healthy lifestyle, having a beautiful relationship, a lovely home, stable income, and now able to focus on my passion, which thankfully is now making me enough money to live well. So it's
interesting because I think we're taught that what we see in our external world is basically the way it is, and that then informs what's going on inside, and then it's that sort of feedback loop that you were talking about. But for most people, obviously, if we think there's not everything's happening to us, then when stuff hits the fan in our external world, it's very easy to then internalize that, and then you replicate more of it, and you can never get out of that. And that's an easy thing that I think a majority fall into, because we're never shown anything different. And we think that everything is out of our control, or we might set goals because we're taught goal setting's great, but we're never really told how to understand how to process that and understand what that looks like from a, for lack of a term, scientific perspective. Like, you don't just set a goal and then magically it's here the next day. To your point, it's an iterative process. And something I wanted to speak to around this idea of vision is that notion of what we spoke about last time, which was the gap. Because that's the thing that stuck out the most to me from our last chat, if you remember that conversation around something I think one of your mentors told you, or a mentor, that, you know, you had that idea of where you wanted to go. But
the author of this book, Elegant Simplicity. I don't know if you can read it in the
mirror. I can. Amazing.
That is the gentleman. And I have this book.
Oh, nice.
That came to me from Singapore through 3 or 4 places and people. And I got my book back. I'm so happy. And it sits right next to my desk.
Amazing. Because that's one of the parts of our first chat that actually I got a lot of feedback from people. And I think it ties in with what we're just talking about now. So
let's pick up on that. I want to jump in on one important point here. So one is that iterative process with internal, external, right? constantly self-improving loop. Hopefully. The other, which I realized, not hopefully. It is possible. It is. It's more than hope. It's real. Take it from me. But what I want to say is the other key thing on how do you now work on your capability to get to a point where you can achieve your ambitions, right? Daily deliberate practice.
Sure.
And that's the whole point that I've learned with achieving goals. Is you set it really well. You don't just set a goal and achieve it. No. You set a goal and you work towards it consistently every single day. And the more consistently good days that you have plugging away, chipping away, the more of your goals will be achieved. And that's the beautiful part about this positive self-fulfilling loop of ambition and capability. And now I'm living exactly what Satish had told me, that once you work on your capability and start achieving your initial ambitions, your ambitions naturally will grow as your capability grows.
And the other thing that feeds into that loop is that once you clearly define your vision, of which your goal is a subset, things that you haven't or could never plan with your limited capacity start to feed into what that daily experience is, because you have a routine, which is important. So here's the thing that I, from an artist perspective, having a framework and foundation is essential to then be able to color outside the lines. You can't just improvise freely and have it then be something that is cognizant to the world as an expression. It's an expression, but nothing of major value per se, because it's just randomness. But when you have a framework and a discipline to work within, it actually gives you more freedom to create, because you know the parameters that you are then able to expand out from. And then on a daily basis, if you know, again, that vision, it's interesting to see things that you could never have hereto before imagined coming into your experience that support that vision, but only because your focus is aligned.
Bro, it's called intention and manifesting.
Sure.
And that's what
people get scared of those words.
Yeah, there's no need to be. You know, we don't have to be so cool that we can't accept words that actually are real and work. Just because it's not scientifically measurable doesn't mean it's not real.
So I mean, who says it isn't scientifically measurable?
Exactly. That's also a great point.
That's a separate conversation for me another time. Yeah. There's lots of things.
But hold on. I don't want to lose that trail. Okay. So you said it really well, that let life unfold. You know, letting life unfold doesn't mean don't do shit and just sit back. No. It means set your intention. that is rooted in your vision, that is rooted in your why, that is rooted in your understanding of yourself. So setting that intention in the different buckets of your life, and then putting in daily deliberate practice within some kind of routine or framework. And that's how life unfolds. And I'll give you three concrete examples. This is my intention setting every day: affirmations, writing, journaling. It's part of the inner work. It might seem foo-foo to some, but trust me, it works. The point is, the first big intention: I want to meet somebody amazing. I want love in my life. I want this, I want that, and I want to do this. I want to feel that with regards to this person. I met somebody exactly like that, right at my doorstep. The second one was a home. And this was a lovely exercise I did a year or so ago. I was writing about what is my dream home. Just a couple of months ago, I was with Gargi, my partner, and I was picking up some old journals and saying, hey, let me just open passages and read to you so you get an insight into where I was a year ago. One of the passages was my intention setting and my visioning of my ideal home. Actually, I read it out loud to her, and she was looking at me quite puzzled, because it sounded like I have written exactly about our home. It was so powerful, even to me, when I was reading it out. I'm like, did I write this after I've moved in? And I looked at the date, no. And the third concrete example is about my health and physique. Mm-hmm. You know, being a fat kid, you always have these insecurities and issues. And so for me at 37, I wanted to be in the best shape of my life. And I visioned having an active, healthy lifestyle where I eat well, I exercise in nature, I go to the beach, I'm active, I have a gym at home, you know, and it's a big part of my life. But I visioned a particular way of being, and I'm exactly that today. I'm strong, I'm lean and fit, and I haven't been like that for 36 years out of 37, but it was that intention. So these are three concrete examples of how one can move forward in life by step one, your vision, right? Rooted in your why, rooted in your purpose, rooted in your awareness. Step two, setting your intentions. Step three, daily deliberate practice with some kind of framework that can be routinized to an extent. It's important for the human body. And step four, as a result of doing all this, enabling life to unfold and therefore manifesting your intentions.
Which in other terms, people might understand as letting go. Or have heard as letting go. But again, to your point, that's not letting go of the vision or the desire or just sitting on your ass eating Cheetos. It's a bigger thing around having what you may label as take your pick from the bucket of trust, belief, faith, whatever you want to call any of those. Exactly. And this is where, I mean, there's other things you spoke about there that I'll bring back later and circle back to that sort of dropped. But I think to bring it to the original point of this part of the conversation about the gap and what your mentor told you, this then ties into that, because the gap is effectively that vision, where I'm at now, what happens in between. And I think that's where most of us, if not all of us, at some point in our life, feel that we can never attain our visions because we never see them come to pass, because the faith, belief, trust, whatever it might be, the feedback loop falls out. And I think,
and this was the hard part, you know, the hard part for me to accept as a burning ambition of an entrepreneur wanting to be the world's youngest billionaire and all that Mark Zuckerberg jazz, was what he said is, dude, if your ambition is higher than your capability, reduce your ambition so that you can actually meet it. Because what happens is, if you constantly have an ambition that is clearly above your capability, and you don't have the discipline and self-awareness and the hard truthful look at yourself to see the gap, well, you're never going to meet your ambition and constantly be in this place of never achieving. So it's that negative feedback loop you referred to.
Well,
so
because of the negative feedback loop. I would maybe add to that, because it's true, but either hold the vision true. I'm just, for people listening who might be like, I don't want to give up on my vision, which is fair.
It's not giving the vision, but it's being practical. For example, if let's say your context, I want to dedicate all my time to acting and going for auditions. I don't have stable money to pay the bills and my kids' school fees. Well, stop doing auditions all every day, get a job for a while, do a few less until it balances out, and start doing more. So it's not the vision, it's the level of ambition aligned with your capability and chances of achieving the vision.
Yes, it's maintain the vision and then know that you can have other subvisions or visions in other parts of your life. Because what's important, I think, that we're kind of loosely touching on, and we can hit on the head now is seeing those things then come to pass in a way that then gives you the belief and the trust that actually, yes, there is a process here. Because if all we ever experience is a free-for-all shit show where sometimes things work, sometimes they don't, I don't really know, I'm going to try. And in the words of Yoda, there is no try, do or do not. But it's true, because the thing is, like, the feedback you're going to get is either going to be one that perpetuates you can do stuff and it may or may not work and meh, or...
Well, I think, honestly, it's more simple than that. It's just as simple as being practical and managing your time well and setting realistic, achievable goals in the short, mid, and long term. It's not that esoteric. It's that simple. Let's just come back to the audition example. Let's say you have the time and effort to do 5 auditions a day, just as you know, okay? But that's your entire day, entire focus. And you're not earning, let's say, coming back to the financial lens, that's just a good anchor. And you're not earning enough to meet your basic needs, let alone those of who you provide for if you have any dependents. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now in this situation, you could keep doing this in the hopes that you'll get picked up as one in the 10 million that made it big that way. Or you could say, hey, let me do 1 audition a day and then pick up some work with the rest of that time. As I'm able to provide a certain level of things over a certain level of time in the short term, I ramp it up to 2. And then let me be smarter about which auditions I do. Instead of opening the calendar and going for every single opportunity because that's your vision and that's what you're supposed to do. No, be smart. Where's your competitive advantage? That's a key one. Mm-hmm. What can you do better than others can do? Or ideally, what others can't? What are you more suited towards than somebody else? Mm-hmm. Go and do that instead. Mm-hmm. Or go and try to filter the opportunities that come your way. So these are some practical examples of not having necessarily esoteric terms, which frankly, even I used to get quite overwhelmed with, but some pretty practical stuff that, hey, look at, like we have time, you know, and some people think, oh, we don't have any time, but actually as entrepreneurs, time is our currency. That is all we have. So if we have that as our currency and plenty of it, then how do we make best use of our time to balance this vision with the practical goals so that as this improves, this will improve, and that lovely iterative process will take off.
And a lot of what that still goes back to in that example is still going within and doing this stuff internally, whether, you know, yes, that's about, yes, what kind of jobs do I want to go to, or how am I perceived by the world, or, you know, what is the desire that I have and how can I then put focus towards that? And if it's a desire that isn't fully rounded, can I spend more time to understand with the time that I have what a fleshed out version of my career is? If I take it from an acting perspective, you know, is it that I'm working on TV shows all the time or auditioning 5 times a week? And what would it then, you know, what it takes to get to that point isn't necessarily my job per se. It's just knowing that that's the objective. Or in the business world, if it's, you know, with you wanting to get rid of your debt, you know that that's what you want to achieve. You don't necessarily have to figure out the steps of how that's going to unfold immediately, as long as you have the focus on what that clear goal, yes, is. But it takes that first step. That's, yes, not even the first step. It's a daily step. It's an ongoing thing of, what do I want? What is my desire? And it's okay.
And also swallowing that ego, because, you know, when we keep feeding our own ego that what we want is the most important thing. I don't know if I believe that if we live in the society and are plugged into a familial or social structure, i.e., you know, the key point here is what I want keeps changing. We all keep changing. My vision changes. My why changes at different phases in my life, as life unfolds, as different things emerge. So that was actually one of the big topics I wanted to draw out here, which is the only constant is change. Mm-hmm. And if we have a fixed mindset, and this was me, right? For 7 years, I was this entrepreneur vision. This is my identity. This is it. Blinkers. Off I go. I sacrifice everything for this vision. Off I go. Off I go. Off I go. I didn't achieve it. I destroyed my life doing it. It's when I took that conscious break, took a good hard look in the mirror. And that's that other thing, right? Self-awareness is a very important part of it. But self-acceptance is the deeper goal. Because once you're aware of who you are, then you can finally accept who you are. So I'll bring it back to this example. Now, frankly, I have a very similar vision as I always did. Okay? The difference is that I now know that, yes, I'm willing to give up a lot of things for this vision because I have given them up. Now I can consciously do it. As an example, starting a family. I'm with a partner where both of us are aligned that, you know what, we're both purpose-driven entrepreneurs in our own ways. So we're consciously deciding, look, I'm 37, man. At this age, either if you're with somebody, generally you're at a place where you may consider to do that, right? Society is generally that. So we've consciously decided not to do that. And I'm not doing it because I can't or because I don't have the money to anymore. Because I know now, having been through what I've been through, that, hey, I believe in this vision, right? And this vision is something I'm prepared to trade off more. So what else am I prepared to trade off? Well, I don't live in the country I used to live in when we last spoke, man. I came to Goa for 5 days. It's been 16 months. I live here now. I haven't left. I have a beautiful life here. So I came here not having a clue about what's ahead of me, but having some kind of vision. I wanted to be a nomad. I wanted to operate my business in Singapore while not living there anymore. I wanted to live by a beach. I wanted to live in a cool, fun part of the world. I can live freely around other free spirits. And I wanted to live in a place that was affordable and gave me the value for the hard-earned money as an entrepreneur, rather than spending it in a high-cost center.
It's a pretty clear vision. That's a pretty clear. Yeah,
exactly. I didn't know the how, but I knew what I wanted because I already.
Exactly. Exactly.
So then I let life unfold. Mm-hmm. A pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. Okay. So instead of me rushing back to Singapore before they closed the borders, I said, "Well, why? I don't have a home there anymore. I don't have a wife there anymore. My business is still working fine. My team's on the ground. Why don't I just stay here and then do what the rest of the world seems to start doing?" And by the way, that is a topic I'd like to touch on a bit, is how our whole way of doing things has shifted so drastically across all industries and all communities and mm-hmm. all facets since we last spoke. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is through this, right? Through screens yeah. rather than through in person. Yeah. But anyway, to finish on this point, I let life unfold by having a clear intention, doing the inner work, doing the daily deliberate practice. I would be the guy working all day while a lot of my friends are partying. It's Goa after all. And it was lockdown, but instead of just, we didn't have government support to pay our wages and our jobs while we didn't work. It doesn't work like that as an entrepreneur. So that's when we decided to put in that time to focus on getting investors. Mm-hmm. And that was a 6 to 8 month process, maybe 12 month process. But it was, I realized now looking back, coming back to beautiful hindsight, it was all those intentions and finally having a better capability that enabled me to not only achieve my initial ambitions, but as a result, now increase my ambitions and to start seeing life manifest towards that.
Yeah, which is interesting when you bring it back to that whole conversation around the gap, right? Because I think the big thing between where you were then and where you are now is that idea, that self-concept part. And I think that's something that I think is super important that doesn't get touched on enough, because it's one thing to have a goal and to then believe like, yeah, I can get it. And I believe it. And I'm doing and I'm executing and I'm working every day doing all this stuff and it never happens. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen because the self-concept you have is actually what filters down to the work you do and the beliefs you have. If your self-concept is, no one taught me this either. If your self-concept isn't aligned with what your goal is, you're going to always struggle with that. But sometimes you don't know what your own self-concept is truly until you, to your point, look in the mirror hard and cold. And then once you see what my current state is and understand that that has made my life the way it is now, how can I change the story to then become a self-concept that is what I want to be more empowering for where I want to go and what I want to experience yes. in my life. Yes. And that is, if you use the word manifesting or creativity, that is, we're always doing that without knowing it. And it's if you can do it consciously, that you take you take all of the power back, because now you are saying, actually, I'm here to enjoy the ride and enjoy the gap to what my vision is. But I know that if that's my vision, my self-concept has to be full enough to align with that. And now I can do the daily deliberate work to align with that in terms of where exactly. I want to go.
And let's break down that word manifest, you know. Mm-hmm. I was one of those like, ooh, foo-foo word.
New age just, is taking it over. That's why.
Yeah, and frankly, it's just another word to say, hey, man, when you have more alignment of what you want to do, you make better choices in certain situations. And when you make better choices and you choose to do things that are more aligned with what you want to do, those things happen. So for me, the word manifest isn't some magic thing. And frankly, it's a bit overused and very Robin Sharma-esque. But the truth is, there is a very clear thing that's happening in the background, you know, and also you're filtering opportunities and engagements and interactions. So what they say is when you have intention, you attract. Now, what for me that means is you basically have a subconscious filter that's telling you, hey, I want to spend more time with this person. Hey, I want to be in this situation. Hey, let me show up for this opportunity. Hey, let me say no to this because it doesn't feel right. Hey, let me keep at it this and believe it'll happen and then go and talk to that person. So these are all very concrete, real ways of how one manifests. Mm-hmm. And it's always steeped in that, like as you said, that intention / vision / awareness. But it's powerful, man. I can say that.
That's right. If you want to look at it from a scientific perspective, which I'm going to butcher, so I'm not going to go into it much, but for anyone that is interested in quantum physics and quantum theory that can maybe give a little bit more of a concrete science backing to that, the double slit experiment that they did, or that they've done many of, basically speaks to the fact that what you focus on is what happens. So in the double slit experiment, they basically put light through these two slits, but the way it behaved was very different each time in terms of what came up at the back of the projection. Sometimes it was scattered, sometimes it was very focused. And what they realized was what they focused on was how it behaved. If they didn't focus on it, then it would actually be more random in terms of the possibilities of what it could be. I'm totally butchering that explanation, but
my video is just playing up. Bear with me.
And your lighting's gone all weird too.
Yeah, because it just got dark.
Oh.
Sorry. Is that better?
Sure. It's about the same. That's a bit better. Okay. But yeah, anyone who's interested in the double slit experiment, maybe check that out because that'll give a bit more, if you want, scientific context too. Manifesting and what it really you know is, if you're like me and you want science, then that gives some interesting views on how they've tested things and on a particle and atomic level. Actually
interesting that it works, huh?
It's more like
I come from personal experience, you know. At the end of the day,
that's what it has to be.
You only believe something when it happens to you. I can read all the science in the world or all the self-help in the world about how to do this, how to do that, and this works and that works, but when it actually happens to you and you actually do it and it actually works, then I can stand here confidently and tell others that yes, it does.
And that's all it is. What it has to be. Everything's an experiment of the individual.
You know, I wanted to bring up this topic. We probably have about 10-15 minutes. I wanted to bring this topic up also from a place of curiosity in your world and the world of a lot of the viewers of this show. You know, the way COVID has impacted the way we do things, primarily in the professional setting, right? As an example for me, it's been an absolute blessing in disguise. Because now I can be in my command center in Goa by the beach, plugging into the matrix in the day and pitching to some of the world's largest companies and senior management and investors and doing multi-million dollar business, actually, through a screen, which 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been taken seriously. Secondly, which is the beauty of being an entrepreneur who's been working from anywhere and everywhere for the last decade, it was no challenge for me to work from home or adapt or improvise how we do things. Thirdly, was because it's quite hard now to meet new people and form new relationships, you can only go so far over a screen, really. I found that I would be doing business with my existing network and the people I've already met and known and seeing how deeper we can go. So these are three examples of how it affected my industry and the way I work. And it was, for me, very positive. How is it like in your world? And what advice would you have to share with your audience as to how to navigate this. I'd love to learn from you guys on this, man.
It sounds really, I mean, it's going to be similar in many ways, right? So obviously everything slowed down, which meant people had more time that they normally didn't have because they were busy normally, you know, working on projects, casting a show, directing a show, and that stopped for a while. So all of a sudden there was more going on for people to connect with people that they otherwise just didn't have a chance to. That's sort of just going back to core pandemic. And, you know, a big part of what this show is or has become has been a reflection of that, right? In many ways. In terms of how the world's operating now, I mean, shows and films are being made again within sort of certain constraints around being COVID friendly. What I think is happening from a casting side, from an actor's point of view, is there's more opportunities for people to get seen and audition for stuff because it is all happening over self-tapes or virtually. Self-tapes were happening anyway, but now it became the norm when you couldn't meet in person for an audition anymore. How would they continue to cast shows? Well, they would have to get everybody to tape. But if everybody can now tape and you don't have to hire a venue which has X amount of pounds behind or dollars behind it as a day rate, which constrains you to like 10 or 10, 20 people. So you go for a lot of your favorites or your known tried and trusted. Now they'll go for the tried and trusted, but they can meet more. And also people don't have to be based in that place anymore per se. You don't have to live in LA or London or New York necessarily. Yeah. Good you have one, to be man. Able to have access to the markets and to go there for sure.
So relationships, so there's network and relationships.
Right? And there's going to be, from talking to a lot of casting, many seem to think, as it stands now, for the first round of auditions, it's probably going to be self-tape for most of the film and TV stuff. And then now that the world's opened back up, if there's an interest for the next stage, then they might want to meet in person because there is still value to meeting in person, seeing the chemistry of you with other people that you're going to work with on screen and the directors. But it's a big difference between an actor saying, I'm going to go and meet in person for an audition where it's me as a group of another 50 auditionees versus me on stage two when it's, you know, 5 or 10.
For sure.
For starters.
There's one more element I have a question on. So from this self-tape, so this online audition, I guess you're already seeing the person through the screen and what they look like on a TV, right? Is there any benefit to that, do you think, for the person doing auditions?
When I've spoken to
camera, are they following the neck?
I don't know if it's beneficial for the person doing it because they're going to have to.
No, I mean for the reviewer.
I would think so. I think talking to a lot of casting from a screen perspective. Yeah. They like to work with people in the room because it's sometimes easier to give a note or sense if the person's in their head or nervous and they can adjust them, which you can't do.
Oh, okay.
If the person's alone in their room at home doing it by themselves, you don't know, you know, what their interpretation is. You can't direct them as easily. So there is that trade-off. However, yeah, like, they get to see how they come across on a screen and whether they can engage in the medium that they're being eventually hired for.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So there's a lot of that interaction in the casting and audition sessions. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you go to an audition in person, there will be the casting person guiding you and saying, cool, like you did it that way. Now this time, let's try it with this. And here's a few notes, because the casting person's going to know what the director is actually looking for. So they can help mold your performance like the director would. But if you're doing it at home by yourself, you don't necessarily have that insight, right? You have what they've emailed you.
Line.
Yeah, exactly.
One more thing on this was the challenges that COVID presents, as you mentioned, which movies not being able to made as frequently. I guess they've also given birth to opportunities of creating content online, right? So something that I think you've done recently.
Yeah,
with that kind of out of office show, which is also a great example, I guess, of how people can start doing things differently.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few things that happened. I think last year there was a thing called Staged with Martin Sheen and I can't remember who else. It wasn't Martin Sheen. Anyway, a couple of like actors in England did like a thing that got on the BBC. They're well-known actors, but I just don't remember who they are. And then like there was a bunch of like, you know, shows that people did, like, you know, interviewing cast members from, like, I think it was Josh Gad did like this thing where he would interview like the Ghostbusters cast and like Lord of the Rings cast.
All online through Zoom and stuff.
All online through Zoom. And you know, I think you find a creative outlet with whatever you can use at the time, right? So yeah, like we did a Zoom show set around remote working because remote working is, you know, happening on Zoom. So the medium just works organically for what we were using. And it's not the same as doing stuff in person because that's always going to be better. But it was a creative expression of what we could do at the time when we weren't allowed out to play.
How did it work with the interaction on the behind the screen? So like when you guys had to say, did you have to say cut and then discuss what needs to change and then go back and say, like, you know, how was that process?
No,
the filming.
Yeah, no, so we filmed it more like a theater performance where you would just do it all in one go. So we had
It was written and stuff like that, huh?
Yeah, I wrote it. So we did we tried improvising when we did it as a test, and it was like I said earlier about having defined parameters, right? The improvising, everybody knew the characters, but it was a free for all.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not a clear expression. When you give them a script, you had the foundation, and then we would improvise off the back of that blueprint. So the blueprint always is there for the story beats, but people then had the freedom to go, okay, well, now I know where we're going. I can add in my little bit of flavor here. And that's actually where it feels more rounded.
Interesting, man.
But no, we just got on Zoom, like it was a Zoom meeting in an office, and we did these scenes and we just did them or seven times. And, you know, I spoke to some of the cast and a few of them were like, by the end, it just felt like I was coming onto a Zoom for a work meeting.
Which, you know? I guess is the authenticity that you're capturing, right?
Hopefully.
And you didn't have any faux pas or any planned faux pas on Zoom, like some of the stuff they read online?
They were all scripted faux pas that I wrote in because of that.
That's what I mean. Like, you had some of those?
We had scripted ones. There was one day where like someone's internet did keep dropping out, but we managed to kind of...
That would have been me,
But we managed to, on the day with everybody, rewrite it and make it work with the story so that actually it just made sense. So...
How cool.
You know, again, it was a thing of just being able to create in the time that we were in where you've got constraints, but what do you do with what you've got?
And, you know, this is the reason I wanted to draw out this example. Clearly, I've been following your show and that was a bit of a cue. But the reason I wanted to draw out the example, ambition, capability. Man, you and the cast, I'm assuming, are all, you know, actors, writers, producers, directors trying to do things in this space, in this industry, right? So if you guys have certain ambitions of doing something meaningful with your time, burning your creative energy into something fun, creating something, but your capabilities are severely restrained because of the global pandemic, well, instead of sitting around moping or bitching about it or trying to get licenses and permits to go to Spain where it's open to meet on set and spend your savings just because you want to do it, hey, man, reduce the ambition. Still have the vision. You want to do all those great creative things, but you do it to a setting that is aligned with the capability. And that's a fantastic example of this point.
Yeah.
You don't have to let the vision go is the point. You know, it's just about balancing what you can do with what you have and then trying to have more in a sense so you can do more and then keep growing that way.
And I think the key is what's that vision on the macro. And then this is an example is a substrand of that. It's a vision unto itself because you can think of it of what's the vision for the career and all the bigger stuff. And what does that look like and why? But also, as an individual project, what's the vision for this sub-strand of that?
Yes.
And within the different levels, the level of ambition might change, but then the skills that you learn from doing the, for lack of a term, lower ambition in air quotes piece can then bring you to have higher skills to get you closer to the macro vision. So,
absolutely, man.
It's all exactly. Kind of intertwined. And I think having that clarity lets you relax with the process and not feel like you have to force everything, because we know that forcing it doesn't really bring us much.
I mean, yes and no, in the sense, sometimes when you're feeling lazy to show up to something you've committed, force yourself and show up.
That's discipline in terms of,
That's what I mean. That there's a level of force that needs to be exerted on yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's the key point there, always showing up, you know? And I think in coming back to that example of the office show, office hours, is that, what's the vision? Okay, let's use this great example. You want to be an actor, is your vision. Maybe the vision, ambition is, I want to be an A-lister in Hollywood next year. And then your capability is that, I've just started acting and I've left acting school. Okay, this is my point. Reduce your ambition to that, hey, I want to land a gig that pays me enough to keep doing this every day. Nobody's saying that you shouldn't dream about that. No, man. But be real with that ambition, which is different from vision. And I'm very specifically using that word. Ambition is like, perhaps we can define it as core objectives and goals to achieve. Vision is what drives you and what gets you out of bed and what makes you want to do what you do. That could be a nice way to distinguish those two.
I think it's an important, it's an important
diminishing the.
No, I think it's an important distinction, because if you don't, then it's easy to get bitter with the vision when it doesn't come when you expect it. Because the one thing I would change with your vision there for our imaginary actor is wanting to be the Hollywood A-lister next year, that when we start to put times on everything, sometimes it is viable to put times on stuff for sure, but a lot of the times it's out of our hands. We don't know how many moving parts are involved with what we want to achieve, with what our ultimate vision or goal is. And so to say by whatever, like summer of 2022, I'm going to be this Hollywood A-lister, but I've just graduated, maybe. But if that doesn't manifest or happen within that time frame you've given yourself, what are you then going to be bringing into your inner world that is then going to actually destroy the vision, because it's not
disappointment, regret, frustration, anger. I went through it, man. I've graduated university. My vision or ambition was to become the world's youngest billionaire. And then that dude launched Facebook and off he went. No hard feelings, man. It's a competitive world and it's a reality check. My point I'm making is, I think a lot of the times we get taken in by this whole grand vision of life thing, really. What I'm seeing now is, man, I'm still doing the same things I've always done, but I'm now doing it at a bigger scale. I'm doing it from a place of stability. I'm doing it from a place of experience. So the point I'm making is, you know, if I do a solo project that's 100 square meters, or a solo project that's 10,000 square meters, I'm still doing the same thing. I'm still driven by the same vision, but the impact is clearly different. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is what I'm trying to bring back is, you know, a vision for me is a guiding light. Mm-hmm. It is a dream. It is a beautiful high aspiration, but that is not an ambition, and that is the difference. And when we get confused between our vision and our ambition, and a vision is one honestly that should never be met, then it's not a vision. A vision has to be so grand, so impossible, so improbable that you want to dedicate your life to achieving that vision, which means it cannot be achieved. It's not, but an ambition, which is a categorization, a quantification, a goal setting, if you will, in a realistic, achievable manner. Now that is for me the journey. Mm-hmm. And as you go up that journey of starting to achieve mini and micro ambitions with capabilities improving as a result, and those ambitions getting bigger, and again, beautiful iterative process, the closer you get to your vision. But that would be a key message, that a vision in my world shouldn't be confused with something you set out to achieve and then you beat yourself up for because you did it.
No. And I think all of those desires, to your point, grow and grow as you go through that journey that you're going through. And there's always going to be new ones. So it's not like it's a finite experience. That's the idea where I think we've been sold sort of, you know, down the river sometimes, because we're told that it's, you know, a linear process of college, degree, job, move to another job, get paid a bit more, married, picket fence. Like all those things are nice desires and experiences, but there are so many other desires and things that we can have and things that we can experience. to always be trying to have new things that we're trying to work towards. I think one thing that I always liked to go back to was when Matthew McConaughey won his Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club. He spoke about how he's always had this idea of who's the McConaughey of 5 years from now ahead of me, because that's who I'm trying to look up to and chase after. And I know I'm never going to catch him, but I know that that's what my life's purpose is, to always be looking ahead for what's the next thing. And here's the thing I want to wrap it up with, and then maybe we can sort of round this whole thing off and yep. sort of button up the conversation, because it goes back to a key theme, I think. Those desires, those ambitions, and the big vision always still have to come from self.
Yeah, I'm so glad you made that as the closing point. That's exactly what I was going to get to.
Now, the key with that is, in my opinion anyway, there's so much noise, so much stuff going on in our world, more and more now, because we've got our devices basically, you know, attached to us. And add that to what our families and parents and society and whatever culture you grow up in tells you. Yes. And now there's a really important thing. Your desire, is it yours?
You've taken the words out of my mouth, Ashley.
Because that's the key. And I think the work you've spoken to having done, going inward, quieting yourself, which could be through whatever you want to use. There's so many tools. Could be meditation. If it's not for you, it could be writing or scripting. It could be journaling, whatever you think it is for you. But it's getting clear on, okay, do I want to be a multimillionaire with this business? Do I want to have kids with whoever? Do I want to travel the world? Do I want to be a doctor? Do I want it? Or is it what I think I want? Because I've been told that story and now it's been so ingrained, I've just assumed it is mine.
Yes.
Going quiet and having a true desire that's yours means that the desire is already yours because you've chosen it. But not, that's the work, I think. It's getting very, very, very quiet and knowing.
Yeah, I'm so happy. You know, I tell you, there's a reason why we're lifelong childhood friends and why we're so aligned in many ways. It's exactly that point I wanted to make.
Oh.
Well, yeah, which is a good one. Which is knowing what desires you have are actually yours and come from within versus what's been transposed on you from social conditioning. And I come back to an important point. We are part of society. I'm not the guy here saying, check out of society, go be a hermit. No. What I'm saying is, and I'll talk from my own experience. When I look back at 22-year-old Sam, I'm 37-year-old Sam now, I want to give him a little slap around the head. I'm like, how do you want to have a vision that's centered around a monetary number? First of all, why just 1 billion? Why even a billion? Why not 900 million? Why not a million? Shit, today if I had 100 grand in my account, I would be feeling like a millionaire. I'd be able to do whatever I want to do. In fact, it's a great exercise I did just as a quick digress is, you know, when we're driven by monetary numbers, okay, we ask ourselves, especially after this global pandemic, especially after how the world has suffered and millions have died and a lot of perspective that we have has shifted, thankfully, about waste, about consumption, about excess, about supporting each other as a global collective, all this consciousness that is awakening as a result of this hardship. So with this context, if you put $1 million into my account today, what would I do? Would I really go buy a $400 Chanel bag when I live in a place like India where that could provide food to the half the village around where I live? No, I'd probably get a $20 Decathlon bag and be just as happy. Would I go and buy a 50-inch TV because I want to waste my life looking at somebody else's life, an even bigger high-res? Probably not. Okay, I'd probably get a better machine on my computer so I can do more with it. My point I'm trying to make, would I then get on a flight and go to a 5-star on a private jet? I can't. It's COVID. And really, again, with everything I've seen, with people in my own country and so many other countries dying because of lack of vaccines and resources and oxygen, could I really go and spend a bunch of money on a bunch of stupid shit that I would have 2 years ago like this as the first thing for making money? Having the 5-star, the luxe life, the nice car, the bling. Everybody's driven by that shit. Well, a lot of people are. But that's now coming back to the core point to close it. You need to know what is your own voice. Which of these desires are really yours? Frankly, I don't want $1 billion. Why? To get it, I'll have to have a big company with lots of other people. I'll be dependent on them. I'll have to answer to shareholders, to investors. I won't be able to sleep well. I will have to take hours off if I want to go for a walk on the beach. I have an assistant to do the most basic stuff for me because I'm too busy to make those decisions. Fuck that, man. I want to live free. I want to live true to myself. I want to make a difference to people around me. I want to make some impact on the world that gives back more than I've taken from it. That is not a monetary objective. There's no number to that. Mm-hmm. And that's that point with that very clear voice. I now know what I want. And I have a crystal clear intention. And you're damn sure that the universe is manifesting that path. I'm making the better choices. I'm able to say no. I'm able to show up even though it's raining and I don't want to. And I'm able to, with conviction and experience, and next time when we do this in a year, I'll show you my beautiful home. And I'll show you 3 years ago, I was in a park in Berlin with no money, with bags sitting there, not knowing where I'm going to stay that night. Now it's 2 years, so in my future self, that would have been three. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm trying to make, Ashley, which is so well what you alluded to, really, guys, and this is the one key message to anybody who's still hung on for so long, know yourself. Mr. Plato, I think, said this. Know which are your voice, your desires, and try your best to filter out the external influence in as much as you can have that quiet, as you said, to meet yourself, meet your inner child, see your own wounds, see what we've been through, and then figure out what we really want. And then the choices you make in your life will naturally be more aligned. Your life will improve. It's maths, it's logic.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people like to dwell in the scar tissue because it's made to seem sexy, right? Like of all the stuff that happened in the past and, you know, I've got to go and unpack all these things, and lots of counseling and therapy sessions that people can do are very much about, you know, this is what happened to you that made you feel that way, but never really giving an empowering approach to it. And I think, yeah, there can be a sexiness to sort of dwelling in that kind of scar. But ultimately, it's what are you going to do now? Because the past is the past, right? So ultimately...
Yeah, actually, you know, I want to come in and say I disagree, man. I would have said the same as you 2 years ago. I went to therapy. Mm-hmm. I sought that help. I went to counselors. I sat in my pain. I released my...
I'm not what saying I'm don't finish. Go to therapy.
No. What I'm saying, I know. What I'm saying is, and this is the key point. Before you can do
sure
externally, you have to do internally. And actually, the point I like what you said is, you know, we shouldn't sit and dwell in that's just, you know.
That's what that's, I mean.
But that acknowledgement of what happened to me or you, or it is so important for us to acknowledge
yes.
that to
yes.
ourselves.
Yes, no, exactly. This is the thing. I'm not saying don't pretend there's a scar and keep running along whilst you're getting shot from every side of the
yes,
corner
I'm
and
glad.
Stabbed in the hip. No. Yes. It's not stick your head under the rug or in the carpet and pretend that, because that's how
you're
you
not hurting.
No, because that's how you're bitter and lash out at other people and yes. you break things in your life yes. and relationships. No, 100%. What I'm saying is there has to become a point where you don't then start to get addicted to what can become a self-aggrandizing
yes.
part of the process, because well it can said. Seem because it can seem sexy to go, I'm doing my inner child work, I'm reflecting on this. It's like, yeah, no, you've now acknowledged it, you've seen the shadow. Do you want to stay in it? It's a choice, you could. Or do you want to now find the empowering story? Because what this does is simply
yes.
serve a purpose to show you that you have a desire that hasn't been met. And if you flip it, you could start to move down a path that you really do want. That's the purpose of all that stuff. Not to just say, cool, I acknowledge it. That really sucked. Move on. Mm-hmm. It's, I acknowledge it. It sucked. How can I take what I didn't like from that?
Yes.
To create an empowering belief that now will not devalue what that was, but let me live what I really wanted to live, and that's the teacher.
Exactly, Ashley, and that's where we're aligned. And you know, I think, and that's just to be very clear to the audience again, who still hung on so far, is that, you know, I don't think either of us are saying that it's just all about doing. Frankly, I would have said that 2 years ago. Mm. I didn't allow myself to give trust to my feelings. I realize now that feelings are a source of personal truth, man, but also that feelings shift and change. Mm-hmm. So to act on a feeling immediately is not the best strategy. Generally, you respond, don't react, right? That was a big one for me. Secondly, was understanding that, man, I've been through a lot of shit in life. Life was not easy on me. And because I always used to suppress all of that and always come out with the big dog personality, I would always do things in a certain way. So while I was busy doing, because I didn't acknowledge that and sit with it and do the inner work to reflect it, to release it, to process it, to understand it, to write about it, to cry, to talk to people, whatever I was doing was a waste of fucking time. In fact, it made me even worse off initially.
Because when bigger lessons keep coming to say, we're showing you like you've had a chance. No, not yet. Okay, here's exactly. Something bigger. No, but not yet.
Because it's not aligned, right? And that's that whole thing. Yeah. That when I did that inner work and got to the level of clarity and self-awareness, what I did was different because I had this level of inner work. And it started with that acknowledgement. So that's that key point is, and this is where I think you were coming in, that don't just sit with that, right? You have to eventually do. Otherwise, you just sit there. You can sometimes wallow in it. And frankly, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you wallow in it, the worse it gets. You know, I've learned more about depression and it sucks. Yeah, yeah. I have empathy towards people. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for us said than done. You got to just do something. What I would say is, hey, do when you're ready to do, but do the inner work. Connect with yourself. Accept yourself. Love yourself. Forgive yourself. Know yourself. And then whatever you do, fucking trust me. It will work.
And that's
but this
that's
is the hard part.
Sure. Because we all have that. But then it becomes fun because you then start to take the power back and you start to go, actually, I have more power than I thought. And what stories do I want to weave? And by stories, I don't just mean saying that from an actor who writes stories. I mean,
narratives, man.
What's the inner narrative, which is the underpinning of everything that we all go through? And it comes back finally to that whole thing I was trying to touch on earlier about self-concept, which is ultimately
nicely, yes.
Which is ultimately going, whatever my dreams, goals, ambitions, pick the label of what we've used today for whatever that means to you are, and whatever I would like to experience in my life, which is transient anyway, how does my self-concept align with that? And what am I doing daily as part of my discipline to allow me to live that state of that self-concept for myself? It's not enough to just blatantly go, yeah, I deserve it. Yeah, I'm rich. Yeah, I'm like whatever your affirmation. No, what? Because we're, you know, where we hear these things and think it's just a simple, no, it's going deeper than that and actually really, truly getting to the core of who you are as a person. And then seeing where those blocks were. Like you may want to be in a certain thing and it's never manifested because you have a program in your head from wherever and whenever that's not even yours, that's going on in the background. That's just going to basically say, well, you say you want this, but you kind of told us that actually you don't think you deserve it. Yeah. You got to change this self-concept. Yes.
And that's coming back to that other point we made about filtering out the noise. Mm-hmm. Man, just because society tells you life should be lived in a certain way doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's what matters to you. It's how you feel. Maybe you do feel really good having that stability and routine to wake up at 9, go to your work, do a similar thing and focus on that, get your stability, sign off from it when you come home, enjoy the rest of your life with your wife, with your kids, with your friends. And guess what, man?
That's cool.
That's a great life.
Just make sure it's yours.
Yes, that's it. Make sure your voice is yours. And so much power from within comes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point to wrap it up because we could keep going on to a gazillion tangents.
No,
but maybe that's for next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next year maybe we'll be sitting together on a beach in
there
Goa.
There you go.
Doing a great podcast together. But honestly, actually, I want to thank you for putting this together and having me back because it's just been so invigorating. I can already feel the difference in my energy in this podcast or interview than 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. Mm. And I can see how you've evolved and grown. You've actually done really well as an interviewer and also as a host, but also as framing things in context for your audience. And I want to give you kudos for that.
Thank you. That's who I assume my audience is. At this point, however long we're into this, it's probably just future me and future you watching us back.
Or maybe it's like a few million people, man.
Maybe it know. Is. You never know.
Who knows? You never know, my brother. It's Who intention. Knows?
That's right. On that note, thank you kindly. If you have a final little one-liner for anybody then to button this off with, what would it be? If there's one key takeaway.
Okay. It is the take of this. Okay.
Of this chat. Whatever you want to be.
The takeaway of this chat is really that, guys. Filter out the external noise. Listen to your inner voice. And that inner voice is the voice of your inner child. Let it come out. Let him and her come out to play and express what they want. And then let the adult self work with that voice and make those right adult choices in life. Listen to your inner voice. Listen to your inner child.